Recorded Books and RB Digital present One More River to Cross by Jane Kirkpatrick. Narrated by Christina Moore. From Mary Ann Radmacher, poet and artist. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is that little voice that at the end of the day says, I'll try again tomorrow. From Arthur Hugh Clough, Say Not, The Struggle Naught Availeth. And not by eastern windows only, when daylight comes, comes in the light. In front, the sun climbs slow, how slowly, but westward look, the land is bright. Prologue. Mary Sullivan stood outside the circle of men, watched through the triangle of elbows as they nodded and commented about the markings the Paiute drew in the dirt. Dust, the color of ash-laden snow, shrouded their brogans and breeches as they stared at the desert lines indicating rivers, mountains, and lakes. Based on the scratching of a stranger, the men would decide their next course. A dog barked. A child cried and was comforted. One day, Mary vowed, she'd make her own choices, be clear about what mattered in her life, and hope to have the courage to act on that. Part 1. Chapter 1. Sanctuary. October 1844. For a second day, the company that 17-year-old Mary Sullivan traveled with found sanctuary beside a river edged with willows and rocks in the shadow of distant mountains. Their green-painted shuttler wagon had passed through a long desert onto this place of promise, where the sunset of pinks and yellows colored the rush of water. An Irish whistle rang a tune, in competition with the boron, likely pounded by Old Man Martin. The music gave respite in the midst of their slow journey toward the Sierra Nevada. Mary scrubbed at the washboard. She wore her dark hair braided in rounds at her ears, just as her mother had, and she scoured her brother's pants like her mother had too, hundreds of times. It was what women did. Such stains. The boys ground dirt into cloth the way dogs rolled in mud. They saw it as a lark. She sat back on her heels. And why shouldn't they have fun? They were young. Mary licked the blood from her knuckles. Perhaps their boisterousness served as a bridge from sadness to acceptance. The breeze cooled her face, and she returned to pound the stiff cloth harder. Her back ached. The other women chattered to each other at the river's edge. She could join them. They'd welcome her. But she wasn't kin. What she wanted to do was tear off her poke bonnet and stand on her hands, maybe. Wouldn't that raise Irish eyebrows? She smiled. In Quebec, when she was alone on the family's farm, she'd done such a thing, her linen skirts falling around her face like a waterfall. Her head buzzed, and she remembered laughing out loud, feeling strong as she saw the world upside down, and made up poems like, Skirts and boots dance in the air while tongues and eyes burst laughter. But here, next to this river heading toward the mountains, she must express decorum or risk her brother's wrath.
Did our mother neglect to teach you properly that your knuckles still bleed?
Mary's brother John stood over her now, accusing. He'd come upon her, silent as sunset. She wondered if he still grieved. She squinted up at him, shaded her eyes with her hand, her bonnet having slipped behind her, resting on her back.
How about you finish these trousers to show the little boys how it's done, and that a man can do it as well as a woman?
He grunted.
A good effort, sister. You're behind on your duties, and we have animals to tend to. I expect your help. Finish up.
She stood.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?